And even throws money to him.
Rocks to him. And what does he say?
He says, these bloods will be in your hands. And there's a servant of David named Abis, and he says, should I kill this prophet for you because he's cursing at you? That's when David says this. He says, no, save him. Because what he is saying is what God is telling me. It's God's words. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me see this kind of incident. Where he is being cursed. And look at Barsiris. Alright, he comes to David who was fleeing. In 1 Samuel 17, he comes to him, and this is when David was in the most difficult time. That's when he comes and gives him food and shelter and everything he needs. And he votes and supports for him until David is able to return to the palace. And whenever David was in crisis, Barsus, whenever David was in had needed things, he would come to him with food and shelter and clothing and everything that he needed and supported him. And even comforts him. And strengthens him. And devotes for him. That's Barsus. And later on, David, you know, returns as the king. And when he enters the palace, what does Shimei do? Right, Shimei thinks he's in trouble now that David's back as the king. And he first goes away to the Jordan River, hearing that King David is returning as the king. And he kneels before the king and says, please forgive me. And David forgives him. But look at Barsabas. When David returns to the palace, this is what he says. How thankful do you think David was when he was being helped by Cyrus in the most difficult time? And so David says this. Right, come with me to the palace. But that's when Barsiris confesses this. I am very old. And with this age, even if I enter the palace, even if I wear these good clothing and live in a good environment, what profit would that bring me? And how is that any good to me? He says, instead of taking me, I have a son. But take my son with you. And ask King David to mentor him, to take care of him. And Barsiris is a really man of faith. And why is he great? Is he humanistically great? A good personality? Is it because he's good character? No. Barsus knew the absolute reason why God raised David as the king. And that's what he saw. That's when he comes and helps David in time of crisis. In trouble. And he would even help the fugitive, the one who's running away, so that he does not have to live in sorrow. And David was very thankful of that pass, that he told Varsus to come to the palace with him. But he rejects that idea. And he's thinking about his posterity. And that's why he asks to take his son instead. And Barsara's son's name is Kimham. And sends his son Kimham with David. And David returns to the palace and he gets older and then he passes away. And he leaves behind a will to his son Solomon. And what does he leave behind to his son? He leaves behind a will regarding Shimei. And he tells Solomon to be careful of Shimei. Even though David forgives Shimei, in his last will, he tells Solomon to be careful of Shimei. And Solomon, who reads that will, what does he say about Shimei? He calls him. And he says, "My father asked me to forgive you, so I'm here to forgive you." But you must remain only in Jerusalem. And if you leave Jerusalem, you will die. And limits him. And one day, Shimei's slave runs away. And Shimei leaves Jerusalem to go catch the runaway. And then the soldiers go and capture Shimei. And Shimei is killed that instant because he broke the promise he made with the King Solomon. If you do not see God's plan and only focus on your physical things, then in the end you will collapse and fail. And Barsabas, he sends his son to King David, and now he's under King Solomon as well. And Kingham was a very loyal servant of King Solomon. And received many blessings. So what is this about? It's the life and the difference between the lives of those who've seen God's plan and those who did not. Shimei did not know why God raised David as the king and did not see God's absolute plan. And he lost hold of God's covenant. He only saw things physically. And that's why after David returned to the palace, he thought the result was over, that he runs away. And he even comes and curses David. And really makes David into pain. And he's cursing his David saying, how can your son come and, you know, revolt against you? And he's seen the incident physically. And he's not seeing God's plan at all. He's only seeing the incident physically. But in the end, he's the one who perished. And that's failure. Today, you have to see what God's absolute plan is. It's not by your experience or your thoughts, or not by the knowledge that you have. You're the ones inside God's absolute plan. And you're the ones who must obey God's absolute plan. But look at Barsela, the one who saw God's plan, he and his next generation, posterity, receive blessings. And so please enjoy this blessing. And Barsis didn't help David because he had a good character. No, he saw that God raised David as the historic king. That's why he came in a time of crisis. And helped them in time of trouble. And in the end, he receives the blessings. And his posterity receives the blessings. And the blessing of Jesus Christ that you remain inside this kind of blessing. And Barsabas knew what God's mission was. And why he helped King David. Why he had to help King David. He discovered his mission. And until King David returned to the palace, Barsabas helped him in every aspect. And David remembers him for that. And tells him, let's go to the palace together. And, but because he's too old, he says, please take his son, Kimham, to the palace. And also gives his will to Kimham, saying that you have to serve King Solomon to the very end. So you have to hold on to what God's mission is for you and what God's plan is for you inside your job, your work, your family, and in all the things that God has given to you. And you have to remain inside God's absolute plan. And so may you remain inside God's absolute plan. And it's not about knowing the plan, you have to be in the plan. That's what's important. Your life inside God's plan. And your family inside God's plan. And your business inside God's plan. Your children, your posterity inside God's plan. And Paul also saw God's absolute plan. How so? The church is established in the region of Thessalonica. And how was it raised? Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Paul wanted to go to evangelize in Achaia, but said the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him to and prevented him to go to that region. And because the Holy Spirit didn't allow him to, he remained there. And why didn't God want him to go? Because verses 9 through 10. All right, Paul hears a vision and sees a vision where people in Macedonia tell him to come and help us. And he saw the sign from God saying that come to Macedonia and help these people. That's why Paul goes to Thessalonica as a second missions trip. But Paul did not move according to his plans or his thoughts. He always prayed for what is God's plan. So in your workplace, in your business, your studies, and all that you do, you don't just go there and study or work. You have to see God's absolute plan for your workplace and then be guided. You have to be guided an entire life looking at God's absolute plan for you. And Paul received this absolute guidance and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because he saw God's absolute plan first, he was able to receive the guidance. And so how was he guided? There's the first evangelism training camp. In his first evangelism trip, he goes to the region of Galatia. And he begins his first evangelism trip. And that's Acts 13 and Acts 14. And his first evangelism camp, who does he meet? He meets Timothy. Paul and his team, in his first evangelism trip, he goes to the region that God designated him, and then he saw God's plan, and then he finds Timothy there. That's why God prevented him from going to the other region. In other words, he saw God's absolute plan, and then he went. Every day is given to us. And we live our every day with how we lived our lives in the past. But you have to think, why am I in this place? Why did God give me this business? And why did God give me this kind of workplace? And why must I go to this school? Or why am I meeting this kind of person? And to receive guidance from God, and you have to also pray to see God's plan. And every day you have to receive this guidance. And whoever it is, you have to first receive this guidance, and you have to first pray for God's plan and then His guidance. And as Paul prayed for God's plan, and he was guided to meet Timothy. And that's the person that sees and follows God's absolute plan. And the second trip was centered on Macedonia. And just as you know well, in Acts 16, 17, 18, we see individuals like Lydia. In chapter 17 is Jason. In chapter 18 is Priscilla Aquila. Paul always saw God's plan and then he followed through. And these things must become your habit. You have to pray to receive God's guidance. That must become your habit. If not, you will live the way you lived up until now. And you cannot see God's absolute plan. And you cannot bear the events and fruit. And you cannot meet the people God has prepared. You're losing hold of all those things. That's why the movement does not take place. That's why there's no change in the region. That's why inside these events and work, you have to receive the answers of the model. And what is God's absolute plan? You have to live inside this. And so start living like this from today. So begin with prayer. And what is prayer? You're living with these thoughts. What is God's plan for me in my workplace? You're living with those thoughts. You're not just doing your work. All right, this work has been given to you to fulfill God's plan. And make this into your habit. Make a habit where you always think of what God's plan is. Then one day, you will meet all the prepared blessings of God. So bless in Jesus Christ, it become your habit. In other words, it should become your nature. And how does Paul do his evangelism trip? We talked about Achaia and Paul. He raised the church of Ephesus, and through that church did the evangelism movement. And that is from Acts 19 to 21. And in the midst of that, there's lots of those who persecute Paul and his team. But that's when Paul says, I must see Rome as well. And we saw the letter that he wrote to the church of Ephesus. And that's the word recorded in Acts chapter 19. No, 21 to 28. And where must you live your life then? You have to always live inside receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You have to see God's absolute plan and live your life. You have to live with this kind of nature, this habit. And that's the person inside the evangelism movement. Even if you don't evangelize, your thought must always be in evangelism movement. And that's the movement of seeing the 237 nations. And that's the movement of seeing the 5,000 people groups. And that's Jesus' command on this earth. That's the resurrection message of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:14. Only when the gospel kingdom of heaven is proclaimed, the end will come. Matthew 28:16-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:16-20. Go to all people, all nations, and heal them. And Acts 1:8, be the witnesses to the ends of the earth. And you're living your life inside this plan of 2,375 people groups and the command of Jesus Christ. So you have to always think, what is God's absolute plan? And your meetings will be different. And your life in your workplace will be different. And your how you live your life in the business will be different. But if you're living a life that has nothing to do with God, God will not work in your workplace. And God will not work in your business. But God has to work in your business. Then you have to see what God's absolute plan is. And don't be like Shmei, who does not see God's absolute plan. All right, don't just work for money, and don't diligently live for yourself, for profit. And don't live worrying all the time of what to do and what you're not supposed to do. You know, no matter how much you diligently live that life, things will not work out. And why is that? Because it has nothing to do with God. And you're living without knowing what God's absolute plan is. But when you do well, then you think you're doing really well. And you'll be like David, who was happy when he was doing really, really well. When David was doing well, then Shimei would dance along with them and be very happy. But when David had this revolt go against them, then that's when Shimei changed. And he went against David. But that's not because that was his personality. Shimei did not understand the God's absolute plan of why he raised David as the king in the first place. But today, all of you must see God's absolute plan and live your life. It's very important. And that's what Bartimaeus saw. And that's what he devoted to the very end. And did not sway no matter what problem came to him. Who admits that? God admits that. Who else? David admits that. And he lived behind a will saying that make sure to keep Kim Ham as part of your team. And that's what he said to King Solomon. And that's God's, that's the person that sees God's absolute plan. And Paul, that's what he did. He always saw what God's absolute plan is, because inside that absolute plan of God, he was able to see the works of God take place. And I bless in Jesus Christ that you will continue to remain inside God's absolute plan. And now that you are inside God's absolute plan, you have to follow God's absolute plan. You have to follow it. And this comes to us as answers. Answers come to those who follow God's plan. And what answer did Paul receive? Acts chapter 16, verse 7 through 9. Paul was completely centered on the gospel. It was not his experience, his ways, or thoughts. No, he did not live for his profit or for his ways. He lived a life centered on the gospel. And whenever the door closed, he would always look for a place to pray. And when he does not know where to go, he goes to pray. And on the way to prayer, God grants him a meeting. And to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to follow God's word, he receives that guidance. And that's when he meets the prepared disciples. And so today, may your thoughts think of the gospel and think about God's absolute plan. In Acts 16, verse 9, when he went to Macedonia, in verse 10, immediately. Right, in verse 9, he receives a message from God saying to go to Macedonia, as he saw a vision of people waving at him saying, come here. And when he saw that, he didn't think on his own. He immediately got up and followed that word of God and went to Macedonia. And he meets the disciples in Macedonia. And God prepared a historic individual in Macedonia, and God allows that meeting. And that's the person that sees God's absolute plan and follows God's absolute plan. It's the same in Acts 16, 17, 18 as well. Macedonia, Philippi, Corinth, Thessalonica. For Paul, and everything he did, he saw God's absolute plan and he followed it. Then for you to do that, what must you do? You have to plan with holding onto God's plan. And you have to design the field with it. And you have to be able to edit this. And this is what Paul always did. Because if it is not God's absolute plan, all there is left is just regrets. And there's only scars. And people live digitally, but there's only scars. Because they're not receiving guidance. And God's absolute plan is not being fulfilled through them. And that's why they live a very difficult life. All of us who are living this walk of faith, we must always ask, what is God's plan in our workplace, in Japan, in the world, and in all the things that we do? Right? Why did God give me this kind of business? Why did God give me this workplace? And why must I do this work? And why must I meet that person? And why must I remain in this place? Isn't there a reason why God left me here? You have to see God's absolute plan for you. And that through you, God's work will take place in your nation, in your region, in your place. And with these thoughts, if you live your life every day, then God will grant blessed meetings with you. And the doors of events will open. And you'll see the events in field. It's a golden field for evangelism. And you're not living to evangelize, but evangelism takes place through your life. And that's the person that's the absolute plan of God that He has for you. When we're praying for the 12 disciples and 120 disciples in Tokyo, 1.2 million disciples in Japan, we're also praying for 300 churches and 3,000 disciples. Yep. But if no one is receiving this guidance, then who will God use? Who will God answer then? Who do you think God will answer? Who will receive those answers? Starting with all the remnants and all the believers, church offices, everyone has gospel church. Every single day you have to see God's absolute plan. And question what God's absolute plan is and see the work of God and see the plan of God fulfilled in your life. Then you can meet the 1.2 million disciples in Japan and 120 disciples in Tokyo and the 3,000 disciples and 300 regional churches. And that's the reason why God has given to us the very similar and same covenant. Then we must receive guidance together and pray together and think of those thoughts together. And then God will surely answer us. It's important. Don't just say you're the evangelist, but quietly live this life. Are people going to believe that you're the evangelist because you say that you're the evangelist? Right, God will meet those who quietly live that life of the evangelist. And God admitted Barsabas. David admitted him. And Solomon admitted him, right? And even answers his will and gives blessings to his disciples, to his posterity, as it is quietly. You don't have to say you're the evangelist. Just quietly live this life and God will bless you. And God will grant many blessings and many meetings to you. And last, we are receiving the model-like answers. And this Thessalonian church was a model for all churches. In Acts 17, verse 2 to 3, these answers came to them. Paul goes to the region of Thessalonica, but he was not there for many days. Right, he did not stand there for a long time. He was only there for 3 weeks. And he was only there doing ministry for 3 weeks. And he didn't come back to do his ministry again. And Satan knew that Paul was going to be for 3 weeks, so he worked so hard to get rid of him. And brings a mob to him to get rid of David, to get rid of Paul. And until they defeat Paul, they cannot, sleep. And the mob comes to Paul to kill him, but Paul goes to Jason's house. And there's a disciple named Jason. And Jason hides Paul in his house, knowing that the mob was there looking for him and wanted to kill Paul. And that was the age where they were legally allowed to kill Christians. So if you hide someone, that means you are also legally bound to be killed. And so you will also be killed by hiding Christians. And they'll also stone you. And there was great persecution in that land of Thessalonica. In other regions, the Jewish people try to kill and stone Paul to death. But in the region of Thessalonica, it was not the Jewish people, it was the mob. In Acts 13:14 as well, in Lystra, right, these Jewish people, they stoned Paul and thought he was dead, so they left him out in the city walls, but he was alive. But these persecutions will take place only when our disciples will stake their lives. Arise. If there's an important disciple, there will be persecution. And Jason is very, very important. And that's why they're mobilizing the mob to try to kill Paul. But Jason hides him in his house. And the mob comes to Jason's house hearing that Paul is there. But that's when Jason says, he brings a big basket and he makes Paul get on the basket and quietly and slowly drop him into the so that he can run away. And the mob came and hurts Jason. And what Jason does is he pays the fee so that he will not be imprisoned. That's Jason. He staked his life. And that's why Paul says that he is a man who staked his life. This church of Thessalonica is not a large church. Not a church that gathers many people. It's a small church with a minority of individuals. But God praises the Thessalonica church. Saying what? Right, the work of faith. Right, all these believers have faith. Right, Jason staked his life to help Paul. And no matter how much the mob was mobilized to get Paul and stop the gospel, they still continue to proclaim the gospel. And Jason himself, he hides Paul and he is in prison, but he pays his own bail money and gets out. And this man of faith ceded his faith to the believers gathered at the Church of Thessalonica. It's a small church, but it's a church where the work of faith took place. And there was lots of love in this church. And we're not talking about love for a humanistic love where we like you or don't like you. No, it's labor prompted by love. And this church filled with labor prompted by love. And there was hope. And so no matter how much hardship there was, they endured inspired by hope. They knew how to endure. In other words, the Church of Thessalonica was completely covered in the gospel, or completely filled with the gospel. The church was established. And the believers were revived. And the families of those church members were revived, and their posterity was revived. And there was a church filled with rumors all over Kia. Right, it was a small church, but it spread rumors all over the regions. And whoever came to this church were changed. And we believe that our church must receive this blessing. And God bless this church as a model-like church. This is the blessing to save 67 nations. And these churches will save the 5,000 people groups. And this church will save Tokyo and Japan. In conclusion, then what must we do? Every single one of you must remain inside the stream of the word. Always holding on to the pulpit message. And you have to prepare what you have to prepare as we go through the book of Ephesians and Thessalonians. And you have to intercede deep prayer with this stream of the word of God. You have to continue to meditate on this message. We call it deep prayer. And God will grant you this deep word. And what's a deep word? Right? It makes you believe and have faith in God's word. And as much as you understand and believe God's word, that word of God becomes your power. It becomes your strength, it becomes conviction. Then you'll see the work of God. And so please remain inside this prayer rhythm. And enter inside prayer. And no matter who you meet, always pray, Lord, what is your absolute plan? In your business, in your studies that you're doing, what is God's absolute plan? Why am I doing this business? And don't make your thoughts the same as non-believers, thinking what I should eat or what should I do. But you have to always think, I'm going to save my workplace and all the places that I go with the gospel. And when you're revived with these thoughts, then because of you, your workplace and all the business that you do and your family will be revived. But if those thoughts are not in you, then we'll become like Shimei. But you have to be like Balizeli. And always think, why did God bless me to do this business? And you have to pray inside God's absolute plan. And every time you hear God's word, you have to discover God's plan. And you have to always pray with that. Because the force of darkness is working. The force of darkness is working. Good things are not good things. Every day we have to fight the spiritual battle. Because moment by moment, Satan deceives us. And Satan comes and tempts our heart. And Satan moves our hearts. And if you cannot pray, then you will be deceived. But if you look at Paul, he always uses answers inside prayer. And experience God's blessings. That's God's absolute plan. And I bless in Jesus because you become the church and the church office and the believers who are model like the church of Thessalonica. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for granting us the word of God regarding 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. May we be the ones who see God's absolute plan. May we be the ones who see it and receive guidance. And may we experience the fulfillment of God's word. May we discover what God's absolute plan is. And will you bless us as witnesses. And bless us to become the evangelist that will save all the field that we are in. We thank you, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.